go through this thing.
Even though Malaga was frequently in the press, not much is known about day-to-day life. Today, archaeology students and faculty from the University of Southern Maine are slowly piecing it together. They dig, scrape, and sift dirt, and some of what they uncover contradicts press reports about island living. Nate Hamilton is co-director of the Summer Field School on Malaga. He checks in with a student.
What you got in there, local?
We found a couple of pieces of cloth earlier. A lot of fish bones.
There's so many nails here, it's astounding.
Hamilton's team has collected over 50,000 artifacts. Pig's teeth, pieces of stove, ceramics and glass, smoking pipes, bullets, and a few oddities.
Dr. True's pinworm elixir from 1848. Pinworm elixir. Yeah, there we go. Who's drinking that and what are they using that for?
It's hard to walk around here. The site of the village is now thick with shrubs, weeds, and poison ivy.
Watch out for right in there. There's poison ivy all in there.
Rob Sanford is the other co-director of the Summer Field School. Sanford says they've been able to locate old home sites using photographs from newspapers and postcards.
Murphy House up on the hill, schoolhouse back there. This is a Griffin house right here.
While the newspapers declare the islanders lazy and shiftless, Rob Sanford says the artifacts paint a different picture.
Well, we found all kinds of evidence of a productive, local-based economy. I mean, it looks to me like they worked pretty hard. And so they weren't just really casually just waiting there for handouts and things.
Again, Nate Hamilton.
There's haddock, codfish, pollock. Looks like there might be some monkfish in here. There's a really interesting array of birds as well.
So that implies a certain amount of hardiness and self-sufficiency and independence and scraping by, too.
All these artifacts may make it sound like Malaga was a robust community. Well, Nate Hamilton says life on the island was hardly idyllic.
I don't think there are any people living at the turn of the last century that found life on the main coast to be easy. There's not a lot of easy access water. Certainly probably not showers in their homes. The insulation issue for heating the home would be challenging. The actual work every day and procuring resources. You're not sitting on a 42-foot fiberglass boat with a cell telephone on your hip and a cooler filled with Diet Coke. You're having to make everything work.
Some islanders were better off than others. A couple of homes were well-constructed two-story capes with a fireplace and a porch. But some families lived in shacks with dirt floors. Marguerite Mitchell is a descendant of the Tripps, an island family. Her mother, Pearl Tripp, lived on Malaga as a youngster and remembered the harsh island life.
She just said that they had to wear rags on their feet in the wintertime because there was no shoes. They didn't have a lot to eat. Every so often, apparently, the fishermen would come to the island. And when the fishermen came, my mother and my youngest uncle, they would clog dance for the fishermen, and the fishermen would give them fish for dancing for them.
People on the mainland were very much aware of the poor conditions on the island, and they provided help. The town of Phippsburg paid poor relief to some islanders. Many residents also lent a hand. One winter, 26 people on Malaga had measles, so a local grange contributed money, food, and clothing.
There was a lot of support, and you never read anything about that part of it.
Faye Wells lives on the mainland, right across from Malaga Island. Her family owned Ridley's General Store, where the islanders bartered for a lot of their supplies.
If anyone got sick over there, my grandmother with the girls would go over with chicken soup and they'd clean sheets, they'd boil sheets and make them comfortable. It, you know, it was up to God whether they lived or died, but at least they'd go comfortable.
For many years, life on Malaga remained relatively the same, tough but manageable. But then the world around Malaga changed, significantly. Starting around 1902, Malaga became the focus of a decade-long conflict. And when it began, it's possible the islanders never dreamed everything they knew would be gone.